Let's turn in our Bibles to page 1739. 1739, Romans chapter 9, verses 6 to 8. I preached on this text several years ago, but we're continuing. It's easier flow from what we've had before, so you will find it hopefully beneficial, considering the context. Romans chapter 9, verses 6 to 8, proof of a true Christian. We read God's words together saying, "But it is not that the word of God has taken no effect, for they are not all Israel who are of Israel, nor are they all children because they are the seed of Abraham. But in Isaac your seed shall be called, that is, those who are the children of the flesh. These are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as the seed." And the sermon ties nicely with what we have, and we trust God will bless his words to our hearts today. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, how do you know that you are a Christian? Well, there are some who say they are Christians because they go to church and they are part of the church. They're part of the covenant community and they have membership in the church. Others say they're saved because they are part of a Christian covenant family. They say my grandfather was a preacher and therefore we are Christian because my grandfather was a Christian. This is very common. Having spent another week in the South, you get to see a lot more of this in the United States, where people identify themselves as Christians because their family was Christian. But these are two old errors. They're so old, even the Jews had them. And the Apostle Paul unambiguously corrected these two notable errors. And our headings then are: covenant community doesn't save you, covenant family doesn't save you, covenant Christ saves you. And our goals are that you and your children will learn not to rest in the fact that you are part of a covenant community or from a good family, a good Christian family, but you will rest in the work of Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. First, the covenant community doesn't save you. Look at our text. "But it is not that the word of God has taken no effect, for they are not all Israel who are Israel." They are not all Israel who are of Israel. Well, the Israelites thought that they received salvation simply because they were part of the Jewish covenant community. They felt they had God's law, and they believed God's law, and they obeyed God's law. And it experienced God's miracles, such wonderful things as the opening of the Red Sea and the drowning of Pharaoh and the tearing down of the walls of Jericho. And even before that, walking across on the Jordan, they had that in their history recorded, proof that God had blessed them. So in their minds, and by the way, God promised to bless them more. You see Psalm 72. "Christ shall have dominion over land and sea." They expected that the kingdom of Solomon to be spread everywhere. So because they were part of the Jewish nation and because they had the experience in the past, they thought, you know what? We are the true believers. And that made them think that they were superior to other people. And you know what they would do when they would travel. When they got to the borders of Israel, they would take off their shoes and shake the dust off. Now, how do you do it? It's just a border, and there's sand this side and sand this side. But in their minds, they were so superior because of this, they would take their sandals off, shake it off, because they didn't even want the Gentile dust to go across into Jewish land. Such arrogance. But the Bible says, in our text, not all Jews in the covenant were part of the true communion of Israel. They were not true believers. There was nothing automatic about salvation. Circumcision, which marked inclusion into the covenant community, did not save. Remember what the Apostle Paul said in your notes, Galatians chapter 6, verse 15, together. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation. That's what really mattered. We'll talk about that in a minute. The Jews ignored the fact that when God promised to bless Abraham and all his descendants, God meant all his spiritual descendants, not his physical or biological descendants. So these non-spiritual branches that were part of the covenantal olive tree were cut off, according to Romans 11. These people were not really part of the tree. They're more like orchids. They look beautiful, but they are suckers. They're parasites. They gain the benefit, but they're not really part of the plant. Now, Jesus illustrated the difference between being in the covenant community and being a true Christian when he met a man named Nathanael. Look at Jesus' description of Nathanael in John chapter 1, verse 7. Together, Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit." Now, Jesus wasn't praising him here. Jesus was using sarcasm. And what does Nathanael mean? God's gift. The name, remember we talked earlier, the name doesn't mean anything if you don't live up to it. And this man was a Jew of the covenant community, but not a Christian. Moreover, we learn that the true Christian is the one who calls on the name of the Lord. Romans chapter 10, verse 12, together. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. He didn't say if you were a Jew and part of the covenant community, do you truly believe on Jesus Christ? For God so loved the world that whoever believes in the Son, whom he sent, will not perish but have everlasting life. So this was like a dagger in the heart of the Jews. It destroyed their hope in salvation by covenant. There are lessons to learn here. First of all, being part of the covenant community does not mean that you are saved. And listen to this, children, especially adults as well. It does not mean that you will be saved. And it does not mean that God is obligated to save you. And so is being part of a so-called Christian country. You're not a Christian because you're a citizen of Canada or the United States. Covenant does not save you. Second, baptism doesn't save you. So the water in your baby's head doesn't save him, and it does not wash away his sins, just like circumcision did not save. So why does God save you and your children then? Let Moses address this in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 7 and most of 8. Together, the Lord did not set his love on you nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all peoples. But because the Lord loves you and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, he loved you and he made a promise to save you. It wasn't because of you being a member of the church or you being baptized. And yet, and I want you to listen very carefully to this, especially young people who have or will have children. Don't dare keep your children away from worship, or you and they will regret it. Because here is where God's word impregnates, gets into the very hearts of your children. And indeed, if you don't bring your children to worship, to hear the preaching of the word of God, it means you hate them. hate them. If you make up any excuse that is frivolous for not having your children in worship, you are working for the destruction of your children. This is a priority. No other activity takes preference or precedence over the worship of God. As long as you physically can, you should. Because that's where the covenant terms are explained. This is where they learn about their covenant keeper. Don't leave them away from worship. The second thing Apostle Paul says there is that the covenant family doesn't save. The covenant, being a member of the covenant, does not save, neither does being born into a covenant family. There were all the Jews who argued that they were saved because they were related by blood to Abraham. He was their forefather. But both sons, Ishmael and Isaac, were from Abraham. Both were circumcised. But Ishmael was not a Christian. In fact, he was described, and you hear more about him next week, he was a wild donkey of a man. He was a rebel against God, a rebel whom God then rejected. Isaac, on the other hand, another son of Abraham, was a Christian, saved by grace. Grace he received through faith. He was a repentant man whom God accepted. In fact, Abraham even pleaded and said, God, let Ishmael live before you. Look at the text, Genesis chapter 17, verses 18 and 19, together. And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Then God said, no, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his descendants after him. It's true that we hear that being a child of a Christian person does not save. But that's not the reason they're not saved. They're not saved because they reject God. Ishmael rejected God. Both Ishmael and Isaac had Abraham's blood in their veins, but one was saved and one was not. One rejected the salvation, one accepted the salvation. And the lesson is that bloodlines did not save. And in fact, the Lord Jesus made it abundantly clear. John chapter 8, verse 39, together. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you are Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. You would exercise your faith. But they were not. Were they Abraham's bloodline? From his bloodline? Yes. Were they from his spiritual bloodline? No. Jesus told them that their father was not Abraham, but the devil. Further, there were many who did not have Abraham's blood in their veins, but were saved, people of the faith. People of great faith. And we have many of them in the Old Testament. Some of them would include Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, Rahab, the ex-prostitute who trusted in Jesus Christ for salvation, Ruth, the Moabitess, the most despised of all people in the Jewish mind. She believed. In fact, she became the mother of Jesus with not a drop of Jewish blood in her veins. Nebuchadnezzar confessing Christ at the end of his life. Well, more than that, the mixed multitude that left Egypt for Canaan. When Moses was leaving, it wasn't just Jewish people. There were other people who believed and joined their community with no Jewish blood in their veins. But they left and were part of God's people. So what can we learn? You're not saved by covenant. You're not saved by family. First of all, be clear, no one is lost because he wasn't chosen. He is lost because he rejects God's salvation and rebels against him. That's why Ishmael went to hell. That's why Esau was rejected by God, because he rejected Esau. Second, being part of a Christian family, even a Reformed family, even learning the catechism, even having been taken to church all your life, even singing the Psalms, and you know those people who don't sing the Psalms? You could sing all the Psalms. You could memorize those scripture passages. You could pray every day and pray before every meal. But none of those things makes you a Christian. See, grace does not run through human blood and doesn't run through covenants. Blood relations don't save you. So then the question, how then are you saved? That's our third point. Covenant Christ saves you. So out of love, verse 7, we'll see that God worked. Out of love, God predestined to redeem the Jews through Jesus and through Jesus Christ alone. Verse 7, second part, but in Isaac your seed shall be called. Seed, as in singular, referring to Jesus, as the Apostle Paul pointed out in Galatians. God then not only elected them or chose them, he then called them, he then justified them, he then sanctified them, he then glorified them. And what else? See, he didn't end there. He didn't just say, I'll save you. God then gave them faith to receive the work of Jesus Christ, the work of living for them, and his work of dying for them. So anyone who had faith in the seed of promise, Isaac's son, the Lord Jesus Christ, was saved. And you see a whole list of them in Hebrews chapter 11. Even in the Old Testament, they believed in Jesus. They had faith in that one who would keep the covenant for them. Adam failed, this one didn't. Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. Together, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ. That seed is identified in Scripture. So it wasn't being in the covenant or having family relations that saved. It was the Redeemer who saved. That's why even Abraham didn't say, look, I've been changed from the inside in some abstract way, or I'm part of the covenant, I've been circumcised. Look at what Abraham indeed did say. John 8:56. Together, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad, because Jesus was going to come to die for his sins. He couldn't keep the covenant. Circumcision didn't save. The Apostle Paul gave confirmation of this in Galatians 3, verse 29. We read together, and if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Did he say, if you've got Abraham's blood in your veins? No. Did he say, if you are part of the covenant family and your parents circumcised you before or now baptized? No. He said, if you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What's the promise? The sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. The covenant keeper. And Jesus Christ alone. And this work continues. God works in you by his word and spirit, because he not only saves you in Jesus Christ, he continues to work in you and clean you out and prepare you for eternity in heaven. So what can you learn? Well, you need to bring that word of faith daily to your children and cover that word with prayer. This is the challenge And this is the duty of every parent. It's a challenge because there's so many things going on. Trying to make a living, trying to build the future, trying to get them educated, trying to run them around from here and there. It's often so busy. But you have to. This is the challenge you have. And this is also your duty before God. Because those children are yours. Don't fail like Adam failed. Let them receive the blessings that have been put upon you who have been restored into a right relationship with God. Let your children hear the gospel often and be saved. Faithful proclamation of the word of God is what will keep them in church. You know, so many churches today have gone the route of, let's keep them with all kinds of activities. Let's have games and do this and that and the other. In fact, we make it easy. So many churches run the kids out and give them scissors and paper to cut and to color so that they will develop the idea of staying in church. What they need is the gospel. They need to be here. And you need to speak the gospel to them regularly at home. And then when they trust in Jesus Christ, continue to lead them. You know, every parent, every mother knows how difficult pregnancy is and giving birth. I don't want to minimize that at all. But most will realize that that was the easier part of raising children. Dealing with all their rebellion and struggle. And that's where you're going to have to put the effort as well. Preach the gospel to them and continue to guide them and pray for them when they're growing up, when they're teenagers, when they're adults. Like, remember the Job example. He said, I'm going to make sacrifices just in case they sin. That's how diligent he was about his children. So bring the word of God faithfully. Second, sing and praise God for your salvation. Sing and praise God for your salvation. Don't be ungrateful for it. Third, humble yourself more before God. God not only elected you, but he assured you that you are elected. He did for you what you couldn't do for yourself. And the helpless must never be arrogant. Remember John 4:19 together? We love him because he first loved us. He did the work first. That should bring you to your knees. And remember, salvation was not your birthright. And let me read this passage for you, but follow along very carefully. Ephesians 2, second part of verse 3. And were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy to those who were children of wrath, because of his great love with which he loved us, not because of their goodness, even when they were dead in trespasses, they couldn't get themselves out, made us alive together in Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. There's no birthright here. It's all about grace. Four, cleanse yourself daily of your sins. You see, he did what you could not do. You belong to him. Your sins hurt your Savior. You saw what it did to Adam and Eve and how it affected their ability to live for the glory of God, and it does too for you. One of the plans working with some two men is to deal with these things so that you can sort out your life, so your life can be pure, so you can be that godly husband in the future and work with your spouses for the glory of God. 1 John 3:3 says, together, and everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. If you are a believer, he's not saying you need to do this to be saved. He's saying those who are in Christ need to daily clean yourselves so that you would be fit to do the work God has called you to do. And five, fight to convince yourself of your salvation. You see, doubts can crawl in. You can be tempted by the devil. We dealt with that already. How we can bring in these half-truths and try to pull you away. Well, you need to remind yourself of your salvation. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, 6, 7, 8, and 10. Together, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Now, if you're a Christian, you're a Christian forever. But when you forget this, it affects how you live for the glory of God. So you need to remind yourself of all that Christ has done for you. And that's sometimes a battle. And six, evangelize the lost. Tell others of your salvation and bring praise to God. Yeah, you should praise Him yourself. But when you tell others, this is why the Jews in the Old Testament had to paint those crosses on their doors. They would dip that hyssop branch or that brush into the blood, and they would go backwards, and on their doorposts, they would make a cross. They didn't even know what they were doing, probably. But that was the cross that would tell the world, here live those who love Jesus Christ. His blood will protect them. And that's the testimony we have to live before the world. Who doesn't want to tell the world when he loves someone that someone loves him back? Who turns a diamond ring inwardly when she's engaged? And similarly, who wouldn't want to tell the world that there is one who loves all the nations and will save them? Let them hear the good news. Follow along. Romans 10 15 through 17, and how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who brings glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the voice, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So that's the means of salvation. Not the family line, not the covenant family, being part of a church, but by hearing and believing the word of God. One more application. God saves at a time when he chooses. You don't know when this will happen. It does not matter how hard the sinner's heart is. If he's elected by God, he will come to know God. God is able and will save him. Now, sometimes he may soften the sinner's heart quickly. Sometimes it takes longer. Sometimes he does it when he's old. Sometimes when he's young. Sometimes he does it when the sinner is sick. Sometimes when he's well. Sometimes he does it just before the sinner dies. So be patient when you take the gospel to someone who does not immediately believe. Don't try imitation conversion. Do what we do when we'll say you're saved. Be a member of the church and we'll say you're saved. Marry into a Christian family and we'll say you're saved. No, it has to be the gospel that penetrates the heart. Let's conclude. No one can be saved by relying on his covenant position and taking the covenant sign. No one can be saved by relying on the fact that their parents or near relations are Christians. These errors might be common and even popular today, but God warns against them. A man is only saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. So, brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, rely on Christ's life and Christ's death for your salvation. He actively and passively obeyed for you. He obeyed and suffered. You don't need anything more. There is nothing more. So let this humble you. With that, guard your hearts. Guard the hearts of your children. Guard the hearts of each other against relying on baptism or blood relations as if those things could save. And then also work diligently to make your calling and election sure. Do good works. Talked about that this past week with Jarena. Good works remind you that you belong to Christ, that you've been saved. Practice self-control, persevere in the faith, show brotherly kindness, and study God's word. Nourish yourself by the word and the sacrament. These things will help you to realize that you're saved by the Lord Jesus. And finally, if you're not a Christian, you could be in church regularly, you could be baptized, you could sing the songs that we sing, or you could have close relatives who are Christians. But without truly believing with all your heart that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, you will be lost forever in hell. But there is hope. Ask God. Ask God to count Jesus' work as yours. He can save you from hell and give you heaven as your home. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for your words today. Thank you for saving us. Saving us with the blood of Jesus Christ. May we never, ever forget this. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.